Turn in your Bible. We're going to go to Esther, second chapter. Go to Esther, the second chapter. Right after that, we're going to go to Esther chapter 6. We'll read a couple verses in the second chapter. A few verses, actually, in the sixth chapter. Did anybody come with the expectation that God is going to move in this house? Did anybody come to receive the word of God on a Sunday night? Praise God, praise God. Esther chapter 2. Man, I want to go to Exodus. Esther chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 21. The Bible said, in those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, and was told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when the inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out, therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Esther chapter 6, quickly begin reading verse 1. The Bible says, on that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles. And they were reading before the king, and it was found that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity has been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. The king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. The king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. The king said, let Haman come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delighted to honor more than myself? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighted to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighted to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighted to honor. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, and as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, thus it shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Amen. I want to take a subject from the first verse in chapter 6. Bible says, on the night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records, the Chronicles. They were read before the king. I want to preach to you for just a minute on this title, the book of records. The book of records. If you would put your Bibles down, I wonder, can we lift up our voice right now? I wonder, can you lift up your hands? I wonder, can you go ahead and pray all over this house? Mighty God, we love you. We thank you for your grace, oh God. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your provision, oh God. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your tender mercies, oh God. God, we pray, oh God, that you would continue to move in this house, oh God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Jesus, you're my strength and my redeemer. Let everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. I wonder, can you clap your hands one more time unto the Lord? Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The book of records Many years after the Babylonian exile of God's people from their land, while we understand that some Jews returned to Jerusalem, there were people like Ezra and Nehemiah who would rebuild the temple and repair the walls. There were still Jews who did not return to Jerusalem, but would be scattered across different provinces, Persia. And there were some settled in Shushan, the capital city of the ancient Persian Empire, exiles in a foreign land. And the book of Esther is unlike any other book in the Word of God. It is a unique book, perhaps a peculiar book. It is the only book that does not make mention of God. And many have questioned its validity, the validity of this book and its placement within the Word of God. But although there is no mention of God, we no doubt can see his work throughout the pages of Esther. And God was and is intentional about his word. And this book appears in the pages of the Word of God for a reason. We serve a God that doesn't make mistakes. We serve a God that's able to give us what we need in our present time of help. We serve a God that knows what we need in the Word of God. And because the book of Esther is in the Word of God, then we're going to read it and we're going to glean from it. Praise God. Praise God. And as the story goes, the king dismissed the queen from her position and now was on a search for his new queen. And they would begin to gather young ladies from all provinces of his kingdom. And from those young ladies, he would find his queen. The Bible would then introduce a certain Jew, a man whose name was Mordecai, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity of Babylon. And with him was Esther, his cousin, who he raised as a daughter. And the Bible says that Esther was also brought to the king's house, and Esther was chosen queen. And the Bible says that the king loved her above all the women, and he had set her set the royal crown on her head. But Esther did as Mordecai commanded, and she didn't reveal her identity. She didn't reveal that she was a Jew. And the Bible says in Esther chapter 2 and 21 in our text, it says, "And in those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlain, they came, and those that kept the door were wroth and sought to lay hands on the king. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it to Esther the queen. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out therefore that they were both hanged on a tree. And it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king." But there was a man, there was an adversary, there was opposition to the people of God. There was a man by the name of Haman, the enemy of God's people. And Haman hated Mordecai, and he hated the Jews. And the Bible says that right after the good deed of Mordecai, that Haman was promoted and advanced, and his seat was set above all that were in the kingdom. And we talk about the man Haman, and we talk about an adversary, a man that hated the people of God. And Haman was somebody that would come against God's people and stand in the way of what God wanted to do in the earth. And let me stop for just a minute and tell you that there's always going to be somebody that defies the armies of the living God. There's always going to be somebody standing in the way of the people of God. There will always be an adversary. And all the king's servants in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman as the king commanded. But Mordecai didn't bow. And I believe in this day that we still should have the stand that we will not bow to the ways of the world, that we will not bow to the enemy. I know the king may have commanded it, but we're not going to bow. But what would cause a man? What would cause a man? What would cause a man in a place of extreme circumstance or difficulty standing in the face of his adversary not to bow, not to bow down at the command that the king gave? You need to bow to Mordecai. But I believe that there were some people in the Word of God that didn't bow. And because they didn't bow, I'm telling you that you have the power tonight in 2022 not to bow down to the enemy, not to bow down to the world, not to... But in order not to bow, you have to know who you are. You have to have your identity in check, and you have to have some leverage. You have to have a strong base underneath you. You have to have something that's willing to not just be pushed over. You have to have something in you that's not willing for the cares and the things of the world to not just come and press up against you. I'm telling you, the enemy and the world, they're going to come and press up against you. And once they find that you will bow to one thing, then you better believe they're going to push you a little bit more. And you got to get a strong base and a strong foundation of the word of God and know who you are and say, I'm not going to bow down to the ways of the world. All right. You got to have a strong foundation. I remember playing Little League football when I was a kid, and I remember the coach, he would walk throughout the line, and oftentimes when we lined up, he would walk throughout the line and men would be down in their three-point stands. Young boys would be down in their three-point stands. And he would stop the play, but he would keep them staying where they were. And he would walk through the front of the line and he would go in front of their helmet and he would just push them back. And those young guys would just fall right over. He'd go to the next person and he'd just push them back. They'd fall right over. And he told us, he said, I'll never forget this. He said, what you've got to do, you've got opposition coming your way. You got to spread out a little bit more. You got to get a strong base and a strong foundation, because anybody that's coming into the line is going to be able to move you back. Anybody that's coming into the line is going to be able to push you off of your post. There is an adversary. There is a devil. And he just wants to know, can I push him just a little bit? Can I push him just a little bit? But Mordecai, the people of God, they knew who they were. And you get to the place where the other exiles, the Bible says that they hung their harps upon the willows. And we don't ever want to get to a place to where we lose sight of who we are and we lose sight of the identity that God has put into us. You've got to know who you are, because the devil is going to try to convince you that you're somebody that you weren't created to be. You got to get a strong foundation. You got to get a strong base. You got to get something in your spirit that says, I will not be moved. I won't be shaken out. My God. It's in the word of God. We only read about one that every knee is going to bow to and every tongue is going to confess, and we might as well get to bowing right now. But if you're bowing up to anything other than Jesus Christ, you're bowing to the wrong thing. I've come to tell somebody in the house that it's time to bow down to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You've been bowing a knee to everything else. Why don't you try Jesus? Why don't you try the Savior? Why don't you try the Master? And there is this back and forth between Mordecai and Haman. And it would escalate, and Haman would be full of wrath, and Haman would order the Jews to be killed and get the king to sign a decree that at the appointed time, all the Jews would be destroyed. Without the king understanding that his own wife, the queen, was a Jew, without him knowing that there were good people that he knew around him that were Jews, he would sign this decree and they would send it to every province in Persia. And when Mordecai found out, the Bible says that he put on sackcloth and ashes and went into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. And there was a great mourning in every province that heard of the decree, and fasting and weeping. And Esther was told that her people would soon die, and she sent word to Mordecai asking, what should I do? And Mordecai answered, you should go in unto the king and make supplication unto him for her people. And Esther began to explain the protocol. You don't understand, Mordecai. You don't understand that there's a law that says if I go in unto the king and he doesn't hold out his golden scepter, that I would be killed, that I would die. And so this is a difficult situation for the Queen Esther. This is a life-changing and a life-altering potential situation for the Queen Esther. You don't understand. This is life or death. He said, you gotta do it. There's no other way around it. He said, you've got to go. You've got to do it. He begins to urge her not to hold her peace. He says, who knows? And this is where we get the famous text. He says, who knows whether you are brought, come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I need somebody to understand the times that we're living in right now, that you can't sit back and be quiet anymore, that you've got to stand up for truth, that you've got to stand up for the word, that you've got to stand up for the gospel. You've got to get this in your spirit. Then Esther replied, go and gather all the Jews that live in Shushan and fast for me. She said, don't eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I also and my maidens will fast. And after I will go unto the king. And if I perish, I perish. Esther had got a resolution in her spirit. She was persuaded that she may be the only hope for this time frame. She was absolutely convinced. And she said, I made up in my mind that if I die, let me die. And somebody's got to get that attitude today. If I perish, let me perish. But I'm going to die trying. I'm going to die fighting for the gospel. I'm going to die on the battlefield of the Lord. I'm going to die in the kingdom of God. Bible says that Mordecai did all that Esther commanded him. And so Esther put on the royal apparel. And with fear and trepidation, you see, courage. Somebody said it like this, that courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the understanding and the assessment that understands that there is something greater than your fear. And so she walked in with fear and trepidation, not understanding if she would be able to be led into the inner courts of the kingdom, not understanding if she would be killed on the spot. She's fearful. She's in a place where she's made up her mind, but there's still a little tension that's happening in the inner courts. And as she walks into the inner courts, the Bible says that he held out his golden scepter. The king sat on the throne, held out the golden scepter. The Bible says that Esther touched the top of the scepter. The Bible says in Esther chapter 5 and verse 3, then said the king unto her, what would thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for them. Then the king said, cause Haman to make haste that he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thou petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thou request? Even half of the kingdom, it shall be performed. And then Esther, answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king had said. And then went Haman forth that day, joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself. And when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and his wife. And Haman, full of himself, begins to tell them how there's nobody else above me in the kingdom. He said, Esther, she invited me to a banquet, and nobody else was invited except me and the king. And I'm the person that she called to come to the banquet. And Haman was full of himself, and Haman was high and mighty, and Haman was in the position that the king had put him in. But he didn't know that his demise was on the way. I've come to tell somebody, don't worry about your enemy. God will fight your battles. God will work for you. God will move for you. God will... And he said all of these things. He talked about where he was in the kingdom, and he talked about how he was invited to the banquet twice, and he talked about all of these things. And he said, but when I walked out of the house, what did I see but that Mordecai that would not bow down to me? Haman was furious. Haman was upset with Mordecai. He was upset with the Jews. He was upset that he wouldn't bow down. He was upset that he wouldn't be moved and he wouldn't be shaken. The Bible talks about how all of the keepers of the king in the king's gate, they would press on Mordecai daily, and they would ask him, are you going to bow? Is today the day that you're going to bow? Are you going to bow down to Haman? And they said, Mordecai, what is it? And he let them know that he was a Jew. And that's where the decree came from. He did not only wanted to destroy Mordecai, but he wanted to destroy all of the Jews. Stay with me. We're going somewhere. The Bible says, yet all this availeth me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then said Zeresh, his wife, and all the friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai would be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Chapter 6, the Bible says, there was a night that the king couldn't sleep. On that night, could not the king sleep? The Bible says that he commanded them to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before him. There came a night when the king couldn't sleep, a night that the king lay tossing and turning, a night that he couldn't get any rest, a night when he was disturbed in his rest. He was trying to find a place of sleep. But I believe that God, even though his name isn't mentioned in the text of Ezra, I believe that the providence of God was moving into the story right here, and God was making a way where there seemed to be no way. He said there was a night that the king couldn't sleep. On the same night that Haman made a plan to create the gallows to hang Mordecai, the king lay tossing and turning, and he said, I want you to go and get the book. I want you to go and get the book of records. He said, I can't sleep tonight. He said, I want you to go and get the book of records. And I believe that the hand of God started to move in as he began, the servants began to go and get the book. And the Bible says that he begins to crack open the book. And it's the providence of God for this book to be filled with records, but for it to land on the page of Mordecai. The Bible says that he began to read of the good deed of Mordecai, how he saved the king, how he was there, how he spoke up when he saw something wrong in the kingdom. Mordecai was faithful. Mordecai was somebody that cared about the king. And he told him, he said, there's somebody that's trying to kill you. There's somebody that's trying to wreck your life. And the Bible says in this moment, he asked the people, he said, they're reading the script and they're reading the story. And the king is hearing the account of the story one more time. Bible says that he asked servants, has anything been done for this man? He said, has anything been done for the man that saved my life? Has anything been done for the man that put his life on the line? Has anything been done for this man? And the Bible says that while they were talking, that somebody was in the court, and he asked the question. He said, who is in the court? Bible says that Haman was in the court, and Haman was coming, and he was telling them, the king, that I want to hang Mordecai on the gallows. And before he was able to speak, the king said, bring Haman in. And Haman comes in, and the king says, there's a man here in the kingdom whom the king delighteth to honor. He said, Haman, how should we honor this man, this great man? How can we honor this man? How can we get him the reward that he's due? How are we going to be able to repay him for saving my life, for saving the kingdom? Haman thought to himself like he was high and mighty. Who else could he be talking about except for me? He said, let me tell you, in other words, he said, let me tell you what I would want. He said, I want you to get the royal garment, the royal apparel. He said, I want you, you're going to put it on his back. He said, you're going to get the horse that the king rides, and you're going to put him on the horse. And he says, you're going to get the crown royal that goes on the king's head, and you're going to put it on this great man that you want to honor. And Haman is planning a party for himself, but little did you know that God will make your enemy your servant. And God, my, yeah. God will make your enemy your servant, and God will make a fool out of your enemies. Stop trying to fight against your enemies. Let the Lord fight your battles. He said, I want you to, he said, another thing that we're going to do is we're going to put him on horseback. The person, I want you to get one of your top princes for this man. This is such a great man. I want you to get one of your top princes, and I want you to go and array him in the king's clothing. It sounds like Satan, doesn't it? He wanted to be like God. He said, I want you to array him in the king's clothing. I want you to put the crown royal on his head, and I want you to put him on a horse and take him through the city on horseback. And he said, that's a great idea. He said, do everything that you said and don't leave out anything. He said, I want you to do that for Mordecai. He said, I want you to do that for your enemy. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't really say that. You see, the king didn't even know what was going on in the moment. But the providence and the hand of God was about to turn this story on his head. And Mordecai was afraid, and he was looking for God to show up and make a way when there seemed to be no way. But God was just letting him know this is the precursor for what God really wanted to do in his life. I come to preach to somebody right now that the enemy that's been pressing up against you, you don't got to worry about him, baby. God's going to make your enemy your servant. God's going to make your enemy my... He's going to make your adversary look a fool. He has so much hatred in his heart for Mordecai. And here he is, after the king said, I want you to do all of that for Mordecai, dragging him around on horseback throughout the city. This is the type of God that we serve. We serve a God. We serve a God that knows where you are. We serve a God that can find you in a midnight hour. We serve a God who can cause the king to not get any sleep. We serve a God who sees you in your brokenness. We serve a God that knows where you are every step of the way. He knows the number of hairs that you got on your head. He knows the opposition that's coming up against you. He knows. Rides him around on horseback. But you got to understand that Mordecai remained faithful. If you keep reading down in the text, the Bible says that after the parade was done, the text mentioned that Mordecai was in one place 10 times. When you read the account of Mordecai, he has a favorite place that he hangs out. He has a place that he's always at. When Mordecai got done being glorified in front of the people, we find Mordecai going back to the king's gate. Can I preach to you for just a minute that God will elevate you, and God will do some things with you if he knows that you'll go back to being humble the way you were before. It doesn't take a parade for somebody to be humble. Don't forget where you come from, Mordecai. Don't forget where you come from. You got to get back in the king's gate. You got to remain faithful. You got to remain faithful. Goes back to the king's gate. Bible says that Haman went to his house with his head covered. And his wife and his friends, after he told them everything that happens, his wife and his friends said, if you're coming up against Mordecai, and if he is a Jew, then you will fall. That's why you can't come against the people of God. That's why you got to get to the house of God. That's why you got to get back to the church. I'm telling you, you're in a safe haven. When your enemies come against you, there is a covering over this house. There is a covering over the people of God. There is a covering. I know you feel like you're in Sunday school right now, but I'm just going to keep preaching. We know the story. Bible says that he goes to the second banquet. And at the second banquet, the king says, what is it, Esther? What is your petition? And she said, there's a man that's coming against my people. I'm a Jew, and there's a man that's coming against my people. And I need you to intervene. He said, who is the man? And she said, it's Haman. Haman's the man that's coming against my people. And the Bible says that the king was angry and he had wrath in his heart. And the Bible says that he hears about the gallows that are hung, that are set there prepared for the man Mordecai that Haman himself would place there. But when God is in the middle of your situation, I said, when God is in the middle of your situation, there are some things that only God can do. You can't force your enemy to go and be hung on his own gallows, but God can. You can't force your enemy to fall right into your hand, but God can. God knows where you are. God knows every opposition that faces the people of God. Jesus. Bible says that he's hung on his own gallows. What a story. Bible further goes on to say that he was given Haman's position. God was shifting the story, and God was making a way where there seemed to be no way. And God was moving throughout the lives of his people. Even though they had not made their way back to Jerusalem, God still sees his people. God still knows where his people are. God still has a book of records. And I believe that it's because of the faithfulness of Mordecai that the king couldn't sleep. And I believe it was providence that he got out that book. Do you have that book today? Can you go get it? I want to preach with it for just a little while. Is that all right? I believe that he grabbed the book in due season when the time was right. Can I preach to you for just a minute and let you know that if you remain faithful, even though you have not been rewarded, that God just wants to know, will you continue to be faithful? Will you continue to have a record of good works? Will you continue to let God, as he holds your life together, as he holds the world together, as he holds your neighbors together, will you continue to let God hold your life together while you remain faithful and let him write it down in the book of records? Will you continue to let God work on you? Will you continue to let God form you? Will you continue to let God shape you while he writes it down in the book of records? I've come to preach to somebody that there is a record, there is a book. God keeps good books, and God knows everything you do. But it's faithfulness. And he goes back and he looks in the book, and he's looking for a pattern of good works. He's looking for somebody that will remain faithful. Some scholars would say that most of the time that things like what Mordecai did was rewarded immediately. But in this case, some scholars would say that it took about 5 years for Mordecai to be rewarded for his good deed. I'm not telling you that we're shallow and that we're looking for handouts and that we're looking for money to come. When we do a good thing, you ought to do a good thing. You ought to be a Christian. You ought to be Christ-like. But if we're going to be Christ-like, we've got to be true. I want to be Christ-like, so I got to be faithful. I want to be Christ-like, so I want to do good works. And as God writes it down in the book, and he begins to write out these things in the book of records, and as God continues to write the story of your life and write out the times when you remain faithful in the face of adversity, I'm preaching to somebody here tonight, and I want to encourage you. You just got to keep on being faithful, baby. You got to keep on coming to the house of God. You got to keep on doing the things of God. You just got to be faithful. What happens with people, especially in the church, I've seen this with young people, I've seen this with a lot of people, is that because they continue to do good works and the good works are not rewarded, we store up treasures in heaven. But oftentimes people are looking for a crown here on earth. And so they abort the process and get out of the system of God because they don't feel like they're getting their due for the good deeds that they do. And so we wake up in the morning and we put on the right thing and we act the right way and we refrain from doing this and refrain from doing that. But if it's not in your heart, if it's not in your heart, then you're just going down a list of a rule book. But somewhere along the line, you've got to get this thing in your heart. You've got to get it down in your soul. I don't do it for the reward here on earth. I do it for the crown that God's going to give me in heaven. But the truth is that there is a book of records that God keeps good books, that God is writing everything down in his book, and God is letting you know that when you prayed and nobody was watching, when you cleaned the house of God and nobody was watching, you had an audience of the greatest man that ever walked the face of the earth. You're doing it for God, baby. We're not doing it for a crown on earth. We're not doing it just because we want to be seen. But God, make me a pattern of good works. God, help me to be who you've called me to be. So we pray the prayer, not for the reward. We have a word life, not for the reward here on earth, but we're looking towards another life. And there's another book that's a little bit more important than this book, and it is the Lamb's Book of Life. And I thank God that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you ought to get excited if your name is written in the greatest book, the Lamb's Book of Life. You ought to get excited if you're going to make it to your eternal crown. You're playing a long game. We're playing a future game. People get frustrated walking with God. People get frustrated walking with God if they don't get their reward right now. And people walk out of the church because they're looking for another reward that would not promise here on earth. And so people begin to leave the house of God and leave the safety net of the kingdom of God because they're searching for a right now reward. But I wonder if I got somebody that'll just stand in and be faithful and say, God, it doesn't matter if you give me money. It doesn't matter if you give me anything. God, you gave me your grace. You gave me your mercy. You gave me your truth. You took me to an apostolic church so I and my family can be saved. And for that, God, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to stand in the house of God. I'm going to be a pattern of good works. It's Esau who goes out into the field and he's sweating and it's hot. And right here, he says, I'm not worried about the eternal crown. I want a right now crown. And he traded his birthright for a bowl of soup. And it's people, you laugh at that, but there are people that are selling the birthright and selling the blessing of God for some things that will never amount to anything. Hear me today. You got to get to the house of God and understand that we're working for an eternal crown, and it's being written down in the book of records. You just got to keep on showing a pattern of good works. You just got to keep on coming to the house. You got to keep on being faithful. Do I have anybody in the house that'll remain faithful in adversity? Do I have anybody in the house that'll remain faithful? Don't get frustrated with God. God sees you. He's writing it down. He's writing it down. Your good deeds, your good work, when you were faithful, when everybody around you said you needed to just curse God and die, when you're Job and you're just faithful, you say, God, I don't want to get away from you. God, I know it's a difficult situation, God, but God, I'm still going to praise you. I'm talking to somebody right now who's in the middle of your midnight hour and you can't see your way out. I've come to preach a little cute message on a Sunday night just to let somebody know that God still sees you. He sees every deed and he's writing it down in the book of the records. He sees every prayer and he writes it down, and he catches your tears in a bottle, and he knows the number of hairs that are on your head. The Bible says in Hebrews 6, for God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love which you have shown towards his name. In Malachi 3:16, the Bible says, then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and a book of remembrance was written before him for they that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. God is writing it down. Don't worry about the details. God's taking good notes, and he's getting all the details, and he's putting the punctuation in the right spot, and he's letting you know, I haven't forgot about you. I know exactly where you are. I know exactly what you've been going through, and I'm about to get the king to not be able to sleep tonight, and he's going to come and see about his people. Tonight, that the king couldn't sleep, the hand of God started moving the pieces together. Could it be that if you just hang on just a little while, the king won't be able to sleep? Could it be that if you just hang on and hunker down a little bit longer and continue to be faithful, that he's going to pull out the book of records? That he's going to go back into the records, and he's going to see every time you prayed a prayer, every time you got to the church and you bent your knee to pray and you thought God didn't hear your prayer, every single time you cried a tear, God knows about it. Every single prayer you pray, every time you come to the house, every time everything is pressing up against you, God still sees you. God still knows where you are. God's got a book of records, and you've got to understand that God is on your side. Yeah. It's David who's faithful. Nobody knows David. Nobody sees David. His own dad leaves him out in the field, and they didn't even know, they didn't even consider David that he could be king. But David is on the backside of the hill, and David is just going to remain faithful to God and faithful to the process. And I'm telling you this, when God was ready for a king, heaven and earth moved the man Samuel to go in to the house of Jesse and find David. But you say he wasn't even in the house. God knows your location. God knows your address. God knows your bank account. Somebody hear me in the Holy Ghost right now. God knows your bank account. God knows your address. God knows where to find his people. But will he find you in the house of God? Will he find you doing the faithful things of God? Come on, somebody. Somebody get on board with what I'm preaching tonight. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. I want to show myself a pattern of good works. And God goes in and he finds his king. But there was some distance between the anointing of David and him actually being king. There were some wars that he had to fight. There were some things that he had to go through. There was many times where he could have walked away from the task that he had to go through. There was many times where he could have walked away when Saul was chasing him in the story, when Saul was coming against him. There was many times when David could have walked away. But David said, you know what? I was anointed king, and I've got a vision from the Lord, and I'm just going to remain faithful. Even though I'm not the king now, I'm just going to remain faithful, and God's going to write it down in his book. And when it's time for me to be king, I'm going to be king. I've come to preach to somebody on a Sunday night that your timing is coming, and God has not forgot about you, and God knows exactly where you are. You just got to stay faithful to the process. Joseph at every stage. In the pit, Potiphar's house, in the prison, Joseph had to remain faithful. He had to keep doing the right thing at every turn. I'm not telling you, we don't know. We don't get scripture about it. We don't know if Joseph was completely perfect, but Joseph was striving for a perfection, and Joseph was doing the best that he could in his situation. And when God pulled out the record book by the butler that was in Pharaoh's house, Joseph said, "Don't forget about me when you go back to the Pharaoh's house." But the butler doesn't control it. And Joseph doesn't control the timing. Don't get frustrated with the timing. God is working some stuff out. He's working some things out on your behalf. And 2 years pass by and no mention of Joseph in Pharaoh's house. But when the time was right, I said, when the time is right, then the king won't be able to sleep. And he's going to call for the book of records, and he's going to read your account. You were faithful on this day when you could have walked away. You were faithful on that day when everything was coming against you. You came to the house of God. You didn't get like the other people that walked away. You didn't get like people who forgot about my plan. David said, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, my foot had well not slipped. He said, when I saw that they were being rewarded speedily, when I saw that they were out there living like the world and they were getting money, when I saw that they were doing the things of the wicked, my foot had well not slipped. But then he said, I got back to the house of God, and then I can clearly see their end. I can clearly see where the thing was going to end up. I've come to preach to somebody to let you know, just remain faithful. Just stay in the process. Just let God work out all the details. Let God do the work. Somebody come to the music. I'm almost done preaching. When you preach like this, there are some people under the sound of my voice that you may be resistant to the book of records. You may be resistant to the book of records. Because you may say, preacher, you don't understand. I've got some things in this book that I don't want anybody to know about. You don't understand. God has written some things about my life that I don't want anybody to know about. You don't understand. I was a liar. The book and the record says I was a liar. The book and the record says I was a cheat. The book and the record said I was a drug addict. The book and the record said that I was an alcoholic. Let's not talk about my record. But I read nestled in the Word of God a little secret that you can alter the book of the records. My God. God said, come, let us reason together. Though you be as scarlet, I'll make you as white as snow. David said it like this. after his record with the woman Bathsheba. Psalms chapter 51, he said, blot out my transgressions. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. David said, take it away. God, I know that what I've done is in the book of records. I understand, God, that what I've done is egregious. God, I made a mistake. I messed up. He said, God, you're so powerful that I believe you've got the power to blot out my transgressions. God gives you the ability to alter the book. God gives you the ability to tell him, God, I know I made a mistake and I know I messed up, but blot out my transgressions, oh God. I know I'm scarlet right now, but God, you could make me as white as snow. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, and you don't like what the book of records has to say about your life, can I tell you today that you can change the story? Can I tell you today that you can be baptized in the only saving name of Jesus Christ and all of your sins will be washed away? God can change your story today. He can create in you a clean heart. He can renew a right spirit within you. And whenever somebody brings up the book of the records, the Bible says their sins and their iniquity, I will remember no more. We serve a God that will remember you when everybody else has forgot. But we also serve a God that will forget some things that everybody else will remember. And when you get in touch with the kingdom of God and you get in touch with the word of God, then that dirty record that you've got, that dirty book that you've got, God can wash it as white as snow. I wonder, do I got a testimony in the house that you are on your way to a devil's hell and God pulled out the record book and he blotted out your transgressions, that God washed your sins, that God made a way where there seems to be no way? Stand with me all over this building right now. Praise God. Praise God. I believe in this house, God is doing something in this city. That God is doing something in this house, that you've been faithful, that the church has opened the doors, that we've been here every step of the way. And I believe that when the people of God begin to get together, we read in Exodus chapter 2, we read about the Israel slaves, and the Bible says that they begin to cry out to God. And then and only then, the Bible says that God heard their cry. And in chapter 3, two verses after that, God sends a deliverer. I'm telling you that when you start to get desperate about revival, that the king can't sleep and he's going to call for the book of the records of New Life Church, and God's going to send revival, and God's going to remember his people, and God's going to remember the good works that you've done. I wonder right now in this house, can somebody come around this altar? If you believe what I'm preaching today, if you believe that God's not going to forget about you, if you want to remain faithful, just make a declaration today. God, I want to be faithful. I want to be found with a pattern of good works.
God, we believe for it. For the impossible, we'll see a miracle.
Somebody right now, he's got out the book of the records. And God's looking at your good works. You ought to come and let God know, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing. I'm going to continue to be a pattern of good works.
God, we believe.
Somebody, you ought to pray like you believe it right now. You ought to pray like the blessing's on the way. You ought to